What's up, Jets fans, and welcome to yet another edition of the Jet Stream, the official New York Jets podcast of Gotham Sports Network. My name is Jesse Finver, and as always, with me today is Connor Sheeran, my co-host, my partner in crime, a fellow Jets fan who's happy this week, along with myself, for very good reasons, because it's a, you know, I mean, we're recording on a Thursday, so I guess it's our Victory Thursday.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, it's our Victory Thursday, but I mean, listen, we have a whole lot to be happy about because the Jets won this past weekend, which is something
they did.
We didn't get to say a lot last year. And we've already said that twice, Connor.
Woo!
We've already said that twice this year in 4 weeks.
Believe it.
It's pretty incredible. So the Jets did something pretty incredible. They won an early October game, something that they just, you know, never, ever do. And honestly, it was pretty impressive. They went into Pittsburgh on the road in front of a very, very raucous crowd, a crowd that was very excited to have their own quarterback get some reps. You know, Zach Wilson came back for the Jets this week. Well, you know, Mitch Trubisky started this game for the Steelers, but Kenny Pickett, their homegrown boy, their guy, he went to Pitt. Yeah. You know, he was great there at Pitt. He was, he literally changed the game. He changed the rules in college football because of that slide. Like he is a historic player, some would say.
Small hands.
He has small hands. Unfortunate. Yeah. So he comes in and he looked good running the ball, but yeah. The crowd was really excited and they were very loud and they had a 10-point lead after he scored that touchdown. And then the Jets did what we all know they did. They went down in the fourth quarter, and they came back, and they won the game. So I want to get your immediate reaction to, I guess it's not your immediate, your 4 days delayed reaction to the Jets coming back in the fourth quarter and beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, it goes without saying that I was very excited and very happy. But I don't know if I said this. I have an Apple Watch. So, you know, check my heartbeat sometimes when I'm watching the Jets. That last drive, I checked just to, like, you know, get a sense of where I might be at. My resting heart rate was close to 120 beats a minute. I was stressed watching that last drive. And, you know, I have to say, I was not expecting it going into the fourth quarter because – you know, Zach Wilson, he was just getting back into the groove or trying to that first half. I think they kind of eased him into it a little bit. And I mentioned it at some point that, you know, in the first half, it kind of seemed like he was almost afraid to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He was still doing the thing that he did last year where he was like running around, he's trying to still make something come out of, like, you know, make something out of nothing, and then he's holding on the ball for way too long, and then he'd, like, suddenly throw it out of bounds.
Right.
So, based on that first half, where it was like, it's okay, but then he threw the, like, we'll get to it, but he threw the interception at the end of the first half, and then third quarter happens, and the third quarter wasn't very good. I mean, I think we're all kind of on board with saying that.
It was not a good quarter.
It was not a good quarter. He threw, granted that, you know, the second interception really wasn't his fault
at all.
Hits Conklin, I think it was, in the hand.
Yeah, it hit him right in the hands.
Yeah, it was a little high, but he should have been able to at least knock it down. And then the fourth quarter happens, and he's lights out. He was, what, 10 for 12, like 120-something yards, and then he comes back and he throws the touchdown to Corey Davis, and he leads him all the way down the field, lets Bryce Hall get the touchdown. I mean, you can't ask for a better fourth quarter from a second-year quarterback. Throw out second-year quarterback, say quarterback in general.
Quarterback. Like, yeah,
can't ask for better than that. So,
yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think he started strong, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he had a bunch of really good throws in that first quarter. He started like 3 of 4. And he had a bunch of, like, really confident throws. He had in the first quarter, he had a throw to Elijah Moore. It was an anticipatory throw, mm-hmm. A timing route. Elijah Moore ran down the right sideline, like, almost 20 yards and turned around, and the ball was there. And I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
That's the throw right there. You know, and he had a couple other good throws. And you know what? The Jets were up after the first quarter. They're up 3-0. And then in the second quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, they went down and scored on the first drive. It was 9 plays, 70 yards, including he caught a touchdown. And it was just a really, really good drive where he looked really confident. No happy feet like we saw with Sam Darnold a lot. And even Zach Wilson last year where he was just a little nervous and trying to make too many things happen, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see him, like, you know, that was that one play where he stepped up in the pocket. He shook off a defender off his leg.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I guess the knee's okay. Yeah. You know? And then he like ran around and he did like a spin move.
Yeah, and then he was just like right at the
end. And then he just like tossed it into the stand, into the sideline.
Thank God he managed to get it out of bounds. Otherwise, it would have definitely been grounding.
Right, but, which is good. He got it out of bounds. Yeah. And honestly, if there was another one where he threw it down the right sideline, it was definitely supposed to be out of bounds, but the defender almost picked it off. And
yeah,
was, like, throw it into the stands. Just throw it in the stands.
That was Minka.
Yeah, but you know what? And Minka, by the way, oh my God, he's so good.
He is
the best player on the field whenever he's there. Like it was when he had this comment that all Jets fans saw where he was like, you know, it's just really frustrating because, you know, when you know you have more talent and you lose, it's just really frustrating. Well, yeah, you know, we know you have more talent than everybody on the field when you're out there than 99% of the players in the league. But like the rest of your team stinks, dude. I'm sorry. Stu.
It's like him, Najee Harris. What's his name?
Deontay is a good route runner, but his hands are bricks.
What's his name? Pickens.
Pickens is good. I like Pickens.
Him and Pickett and Pickens, I think, are going to have a nice little connection going forward. But
yeah, it's not as cool as Wilson to Wilson, but Pickens and Pickett is pretty good.
Of course not. But they're a young team too.
Yeah.
Steelers are very much in, you know, they're coming off of their, I mean, what? How long?
Ben? Hall of Famer. Yeah, it was since 2003 or 4.
Right.
I think Ben was their quarterback. And
they're coming off of that, so they're very much in the rebuilding process, too.
Not everybody is Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck or Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, you know? Right. Like, it's not – that doesn't happen.
Right.
For 90%. 99%. Like, I mean, like, the Patriots had Tom Brady, and then they have Mac Jones, who's fine. The Patriots aren't winning Super Bowls still. Right now, they're not contending.
They're down to – what's his name?
Bailey Zappi.
He looked pretty good Sunday. But.
He did look pretty good in Lambeau, but I, you know, that's more. I don't know. That's not the point. So, I was really impressed with that first quarter into the second quarter, and then he kind of just like fell apart a little bit. It was more the play calling wasn't very good. There was a lot of running there could be an incomplete pass on first down, and then they'll run the ball on second and 10, and they get like 3 yards. Yeah. And the Jets right now are the worst team in football in terms of third down average third down distance. Mm-hmm. It's like over 8 yards. It was over 8. I'm pretty sure I saw the graphic during the game, which is terrible. That's not what you want. And then the fourth quarter hit, like you said. And I don't want to do like a whole like breaking down the play by play like we did last week. That was, you know, I was just very excited.
I'm sure all Jets fans have watched that drive.
Exactly.
It's on social. Every single piece of social media. It's like a 3-minute clip.
Of both of those drives where they scored. Yeah. It was great. It was honestly fantastic. Everybody, they were firing on all cylinders. The play calling was good. Zach was unbelievable.
Right.
That throw he had to Corey Davis, that backside, back shoulder catch he had where he like threw it low.
That was pretty. I mean,
Baldy was having a field day with the Jets.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Like, he had like 3 different videos on him. It was great. Love it. But yeah, it was really good. Corey Davis was really good. Garrett Wilson had a big like 35-yard catch.
Yeah.
There's a lot of explosive plays this week. There's a lot of plays over 20 yards. I wonder if I can see. Let's see. Is there? So Garrett Wilson, Conklin, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis all had catches of 20 yards or more. Corey Davis with a 22-yarder. Elijah with a 28. I think that was that back. That might have been. He had a catch and run also. Conklin with a 26-yard gain, and then Garrett Wilson with a 35-yard gain. I mean, listen, we've been saying this. This team's got playmakers. They do. They have guys who like they can finally get open. There's no more Lawrence Cager and Jeff Smith. Even though both of those guys have played this season so far, like. like Vincent Smith,
yeah,
and company, you know, like that. So all right, so I do want to talk about this for a second, because I mentioned Jeff Smith, and that was who Zach was throwing to on that first interception. And I just want to like put this out there to Jets fans that it at the time, in the moment, it looked bad. Mm-hmm. It looked really a bad decision, a bad throw. It wasn't as bad as you guys think. The cornerback made an absolutely absurd play. Mm-hmm. Absolutely absurd play. They were playing, I believe they were playing quarters, which means that you have the cornerbacks going straight back and then the two safeties playing too high, right? And they're in zone. This corner breaks off from Elijah Moore on the left side, right? Elijah's doing almost like a go, but like a long stop route.
I think it was Cameron Sutton, I think.
I think it was Cameron. And Cameron Sutton breaks off from him and hunts down the ball. Now, it wasn't a good pass to begin with. Like, it was an inaccurate throw, which is a totally different aspect of this. But I was like, oh, my God, that was a terrible play. And then I watched the replay and I saw, I think Connor Hughes broke it down on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, that was insane. I can't believe he did that. So, you know what? I don't blame Zach for throwing that ball at all. Would I advise against making that throw at the end of the quarter when you can go up by two possessions? No. Absolutely, I would. But I don't blame him for making that throw. And then the second interception, like you mentioned before, right through Conklin's hands.
Yeah.
So he played a relatively clean game. Like there were two like errors there, and you know there were some drops here and there. Garrett Wilson had a drop. But he was 18 of 36, so he threw 50%. And it feels like he did way better than that. It feels like he did a lot better than that. His average attempt per throw was 7 yards per attempt, which is much better than he normally does. So overall, I'm very happy with how this game went. I'm very happy with how this game went. Are there things that the Jets need to clean up? Absolutely. They have a really, really difficult offensive game plan for this week. Thankfully, they're coming off their best game as a secondary. And I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to see how this defense holds up against the Dolphins, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Best duo and best wide receiver duo in the league, as far as I've heard.
Yep, but, right now for sure. But so far, DJ and Sauce have been one of the best cornerback duos in the league.
Very true.
So we'll see. It's all going to be on those safeties, honestly, for helping out over the top, and they played fantastic on Sunday. So Joyner had two interceptions. Whitehead, I think, had an interception, right?
Let's see.
I think I have it up right here. I can look. It was, Whitehead, Carter. We had four interceptions that game.
Yeah.
Joyner with two, Whitehead with one, Carter with one. Sauce made a crazy play on that Carter interception, which was great. Any final thoughts on this Steelers game? I mean, I think that we touched all of what we wanted to discuss there. It wasn't exactly it was a thrilling comeback, but like there was a lot of downtime in this game where like there's not a lot happened. And it wasn't like the last game where like we had like a historic come from behind win with a minute 30 left.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to see.
This was just like, this was like Zach said, an ugly win.
Yeah.
A win that should have been locked up much earlier. Like they should have won this game. And that's something that I think that we should actually discuss, because last year and in a lot of years past, these are games that the Jets lose.
Yeah, these are games, I think Joe Caparoso said it, where, these are games where the fourth quarter rolls around. I don't know. I don't remember if the Steelers were up 20-10 going into the fourth quarter.
I have it right here. 13:36 left in the fourth quarter. They scored a rushing touchdown. 12 plays, 81 yards.
Got it. I mean, they're saying that once the Steelers went up 20-10, and I mean, I gave up too.
I gave up for sure. I was like, all right, this is bad.
Yeah, this is like one of those games that under Gase or in the waning years of Todd Bowles or even last year for that matter, the Jets give up.
Definitely last year.
That's over, you know, I mean. Last year was definitely from like a talent standpoint, you know, there's just not enough guys to, you know, stand up and try to get the team back on his feet and win a game. That wasn't the case on Sunday. They got some to borrow a word from a former player. They got plenty of dogs out there. They got a lot of guys out there that got that dog in them. The only thing I think I'll say about Zach Left that I didn't love was that he seems to still struggle to see the field a lot. I think on that first interception, someone pointed out immediately, or not immediately, but pointed out later, that Garrett Wilson was wide open on the right side of the field.
Yes.
So, I mean, he couldn't have been more open. And if he had made that pass, it probably would have been a touchdown. So I think that's just where, and maybe that's just like first game back jitters, that he wasn't really going through his progressions a ton sometimes, and he was just missing opportunities like that. But then you look back at the stats and you see how many guys got receptions, and you know he was spreading the ball around. You know, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 different guys had receptions on Sunday. That's a lot. That's great. You know, you can't ask for better than that, especially when you have – that's more than, you know, the, you know, usual amount of, you know, wide receivers. Like, you're getting it to your running backs. You're getting to your tight end. Tyler Conklin, he's earning his contract. So he's become looks like he's a favorite target of Zach's. He was obviously a favorite target of Flacco's.
Right.
So, I mean, in a sense, you know, it looked like he got better as he went along with looking at the different receivers, getting the ball to different guys.
He hit him in the fourth quarter, man.
He did. He got it to everyone that he needed.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember who the wide receivers were on the Jets last year?
By the end of the season or by the start of in the start of
just
the season?
Just the guys throughout the season that they had.
Let's see.
The pass catchers. Corey, tight ends included.
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis. Elijah Moore. Yes.
Braxton Berry.
But Elijah and Corey were hurt for a lot of last season.
Right towards the end.
Yeah.
Braxton Berrios.
Okay.
Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin, tight end.
Tyler Croft,
tight end.
Jeff Smith,
yep.
And how many more am I looking for?
Oh, there's a bunch more.
Well, that I'm sure of.
No, these are guys who, like, actually played. These aren't, like, guys who are just, like, oh, on the bench. Like, all right, ready? Vincent Smith.
Yeah, I thought he was going to poke his head up.
All right, well, I just want to make sure that, yes. Okay, so these are games. So Vincent Smith played in 2 games.
Okay.
Jeff Smith played in 12.
Right.
DJ Montgomery played in 3.
Oh, yeah.
Denzel Mims played in 11.
Right.
Justin Hardy played in all 16 games. Now, he definitely was more of like a special teams guy, but he played in all 16. Keelan Cole played in 15, started in 11 games.
Yeah.
Tariq Black.
Oh, my God.
Kenny Yeboah.
Ah, yes.
Trayvon Wesco. And Daniel Brown.
This is Daniel Brown.
From JMU.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can never disparage Daniel Brown, JMU grad.
That's who Zach Wilson was dealing with last year. And people are like, oh, my God, he was terrible. You guys should just draft a new quarterback. I mean, come on. Like, did you see who the guy was surrounded by? Come on.
It's going to be the same thing with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but at least Kenny Pickett has 2 guys that.
It's not going to be the same thing with Kenny Pickett, actually. That guy's got weapons. He's got Pickens. And he's got Najee, and he's got Deontay, and he's got Claypool. Yeah. Like, I would have killed for Zach to have
better, better comparison now, like, at this moment in time, is Daniel Jones, probably.
Yes, Daniel Jones.
Zach Wilson is Daniel Jones right now.
Yes.
Daniel Jones, I'm not even going to say Galladay, because that dude, I don't know what. By the way, someone wrote it up. Zach Wilson officially has more receiving touchdowns in New York than Kenny Galladay does. So how about that, folks? Who's Daniel Jones throwing to now? Kadarius Toney is never playing.
Davis Stills?
Yeah, like, I mean.
That's all I got, man.
I know, no, it's not even. If Daniel Jones is throwing to who Sam Darnold threw to in his 3rd season.
Yes.
That's who Daniel
Jones. Oh, my Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was terrible.
That's the situation.
So now, like, if you gave Zach Wilson last year's roster with in this situation in the fourth quarter, the Jets are losing 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But he has legitimate game breakers on this team. Elijah Moore and Zach and Garrett Wilson are guys who can get open in any situation. Corey Davis, he looked like, you know who he reminded me of on Sunday?
Who's that?
Now, I don't say this lightly, because this is a Jets legend.
Mm.
Do you want to take a guess at who I'm going to say?
Ooh.
Hold on.
I think I know.
I'm going to give you his number.
Okay.
He was number 89.
I thought you were saying going to say Brandon Marshall, but
No. That's way too kind. That's way too kind. Hey, hold on a second. That's the single season record holder in Jets history. No one's had a better season than that guy. No, that's who I'd want to compare Garrett Wilson to.
Yeah, eventually.
Even though they're not even similar in terms of how they play, but still. Corey Davis reminded me of Jericho Cotri on Sunday.
Oh, wow. That is a Jets legend, Jericho Cotri.
Yep. Reminded me of Jericho Cotri.
Yeah.
He was making just so many clutch catches.
He really was.
I can't get over it. It's just so many big plays. He had that third down reception. He had multiple third down receptions.
Yeah.
One was shorter, and then he had the back shoulder one. I mean, it was really impressive. I think that, like I said, I don't say it lightly. Jericho Cotri is royalty.
I'm amongst Jets fans, are you kidding me?
Jets line, he's royalty. So if he can be that guy, if he can be a Jericho Cotri type of guy behind Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore, sign me up, man. Yeah. As long as his hands are sure. I mean, this is one of the best wide receiver cores in football.
Doing what they're doing. I mean, so far this season, the Jets haven't had a game with less than 200 passing yards.
I think they have the third most passing yards, or no. They're top 10 in passing yards per game.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely that. I mean, yeah. And if you told me that going into Sunday that Zach's stat line would be what, like 250 yards,
two touchdowns,
two interceptions, I mean, and say like, yeah, two total touchdowns and two interceptions, I'd sign up for that.
Sure. For it's, now. I mean, I don't want to sign up for that long term.
Yeah. But I mean, also, and this is something that not many people know outside of Jets fans was, and then thank God they mentioned it during the game, was that was the first one was Zach's first interception in like almost 160 passing attempts.
That was the longest streak in the NFL. Was the longest current streak.
But you never know that unless you were a Jet fan, because they got to keep the, you know, they got to keep the LOL Jets narrative going. And
of course, the media has to.
The anti-Zach Wilson narrative going. You have to do that.
The media has to.
But I mean, it goes hand in hand with the fact that those narratives don't shut up until you win games. And guess what happened this week? They won the game. And it scares me, but the media, fan bases, power rankings have all pushed the Jets up quite a bit.
The Jets are 23rd in the power rankings this week from 31.
That is, I mean, that's pretty damn good. That's like you're making that big of a jump off one game. Like, that's pretty great.
I think they're the biggest risers this week.
Probably.
I mean, I'm looking at the, wow, the Dolphins were ranked one last week. What? Jesus, really?
Then what are they now?
Fifth.
Okay.
Yeah, they were one. Whoa, they were one last week.
Wow.
Wait. So then, I think the Cowboys went up five spots. Giants went up to 14.
Wow, good for them.
The Broncos dropped five spots. The Browns dropped seven spots. The Seahawks went up seven spots.
Oh, shout out Geno.
The Falcons went up seven spots. The Raiders went up eight spots. And so did the Jets. So the Raiders and the Jets are the biggest movers this week, 23 and 22.
And who's in dead last, the Texans?
Yep, the Texans, 0-3-1. Texans, Panthers, Commanders, Steelers, Bears. Oh, my hand. This is like the weirdest angle I have here. A terrible setup. Colts dropped 6 spots to 26. Patriots at 27. Never thought I'd see the day.
Ooh, does that feel good?
Jamie Collins has returned. Wait, he's still in the league? Southern Miss legend. I got a Fansville that in my ear. Get out of here. All right, so that's all I got on the Steelers game.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, by now, everyone's had their fill.
We're ready for the Dolphins.
We're ready for the Dolphins.
You know? Before we get to the Dolphins, let's talk about what's gone on this week. Some news and notes. So, Max Mitchell is expected to miss multiple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to go on injured reserve. It's a quote-unquote distinct possibility, according to Rich Cimini. Not season-ending, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see a guy get carted off, you kind of assume.
So I was on delay. I watch on YouTube TV, which I hate.
I love YouTube.
I hate being on delay.
That sucks, but yeah.
Yeah, but I saw a tweet like, oh, Mitchell's down, and it's bad. And then I watched the play, and I was specifically watching him, and his knee, like, you know, offensive linemen have their knees spread, and they're, like, in a stance, like, where they're, like, a blocking stance, but his right knee, like, his, like, bottom half of his leg kind of just buckled outwards.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was just watching it live. I was, like, I literally yelled. I was, like, I let out, like, a yelp. I was, like, oh! Oh, my God. Like, that's bad. I'm happy he's okay. He was playing so well.
He really is.
He was, I mean, listen, Ian Rappaport said he was one of the most promising young tackles in the league.
And then that's what happens.
And then that's what happens. But when he said that, it was like, great news to the Jets. Like, one of the most promising young tackles in the league is avoiding season-ending surgery. So that's great. Right. Dwayne Brown, he is off of the IL. Baseball. Fuck baseball. Yeah. pissed about the Mets still. Oh my God. What a joke. I'm sorry. All right. Let's see. Is there an update on him today? I think he
did.
Let's see. I definitely spelled Dwayne wrong there. D.
They returned to practice.
All right. So Zach Rosenblatt, friend of the program. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Brown's status for this week will likely go right up until Sunday, according to John Benton. Sounds like a game time decision. He's been limited in practice so far this week.
Yeah. So I doubt it.
He talked about it. I didn't get to watch that though. He's looked good, apparently, according to Benton, but limited reps. Either way, we're getting him back either this week or next week, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that the Jets desperately need. You can move Elijah Vera Tucker, which, by the way, we totally forgot to talk about AVT.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, as good as we've been fawning over other guys, AVT has been the team MVP this season.
He is unbelievable. He's the best player on the team.
You could certainly make that argument, and I would not argue against you if you were to say that. The dude moved from left guard last year to right guard this year to left tackle, and you wouldn't know that there was a difference. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, left tackle was his position in college, so you knew he had like the experience to do what he needed to. But it's like you expect, so he's moving from like one side of the line, he's switching a position, like. You think it would be like, okay, so he's here until maybe someone comes back and is available to play left tackle again. It's like
honestly, like, if in Madden on my franchise, like what I would want to do, like if I was not even in Madden, if I'm Salah, you get Dwayne Brown back, right?
Yeah.
And say Becton comes back next year and he's good to go.
Right.
So you have, and you get Dwayne Brown for another year. So you do Dwayne Brown at left tackle. You do. You know, honestly, put AVT at left tackle. I don't care. Put him at left tackle. Yeah. Put Dwayne Brown at right tackle. Put Becton at guard.
Fuck it.
You have Tomlinson at left guard. You have Becton at right guard. And you just have Becton just basically just pulling the entire game.
That's it.
Lead blocking.
Yeah.
And then you have McDermott at center, who's been just so solid. And McGovern.
McDermott's a bad name. McGovern is a good name.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So far the offensive line's been an issue, but this past week it was not. ABT was fantastic. I'm interested to see what they do again. I wouldn't mind him playing left tackle again. The Dolphins are going to blitz a ton. Yeah. So we know that. And I'm interested to see how this offensive line holds up, because if there's one thing an offensive line needs for to face a blitz, it's continuity. I can't even speak right now. Continuity. And they haven't had that. So hopefully we can get more of that. So, all right. So AVT, Dwayne Brown, hopefully he's coming back. Put him at left tackle. You move AVT back. And then who played right tackle once? Wasn't it McDermott that came in?
No. Maybe it was.
Wasn't it? Didn't he? Yeah, McDermott did come in. And he played great, actually. But yeah, also Cedric Ogbuwe.
Yeah.
And then Mike Remmers, who's bad. We don't want Mike Remmers.
No.
But Cedric, I saw Laguerre Dozibul was saying, hopefully, like Sed comes back and you get Dwayne Brown and Sed back, and that'd be huge for the offensive line. Sure, sign me up. You know more about this guy than I do. So I'm hopeful that the offensive line gets a little healthier this week against a good Dolphins defense. Have you seen anything about Xavien Howard?
I just know that he was added to their injury list. I think he's been limited all week. Him being out would be unbelievably massive for the Jets if he wasn't able to go. Even if he's at less than 100%, that helps a lot, obviously. I've just seen he was limited yesterday. He was limited today.
He was limited today. All right.
He didn't practice yesterday, I think. He was limited today.
Tyreek Hill was on the injury report today with a quad. Tron Armstead and Xavien Howard were DNPs for the second straight day.
And Waddle.
Waddle was also on the injury report.
I believe so.
Waddle did not play groin yesterday. Today he was limited. Tyreek was limited. Obviously Tua, we're hoping that he gets back soon.
Yeah,
that was really, really scary. And then yeah, Xavien, Kian Crossen, Tron Armstead, Robert Jones. So, you don't hope for injuries for anybody, but these would be big. For the Jets. Melvin Ingram was on the injury report for. Oh, that was veteran rest. Okay. Let's. Are we ready to talk Dolphins here? I think that I think those are all the news and notes of the week.
Yeah, it was all the major. I mean, Zach was limited yesterday. Some of his ankle, but they said him and Brees, but they said that was nothing to.
Yeah, he's full. He was full today.
Yeah, nothing to get up in arms about.
All right, Dolphins. Oh boy. So if you told me at the beginning of the season that the Jets would be 2-2 heading into Miami, I would have been like, yeah, I know, I told you that. Because that's what I predicted.
Yeah, that's what you predicted.
I did say that. I think I had us at 1-3-ish. I think I had us at 1-3. But either way, I told you so. Dolphins are really good, man. They have, like you said before, I agree with you. I think they have the best wide receiver duo in football in Waddle and Tyreek. The speed is unprecedented. It is. It's something that we've never seen. It's something we've really never seen before. This is like in Madden, like you would like just trade for the two guys at 99 speed and you just run go routes the whole time.
definitely. You just said, yeah, you just
the Dolphins did that in real life.
Like, that's all they did. That's all they needed to do.
Yeah. So, my game center is just not loading, so I don't have the. I want to. I think the Jets are minus. Or the Dolphins are minus -3.
Yeah.
The Jets are a home dog. I'm guessing that the matchup predictor, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, is. Let's see. Let me get back to. There we go. I'm going to guess it's like 75-25.
Probably something like that.
You know, I mean, that's just usually what it is. One day we'll see the Jets favored in a game.
I mean, who do they got coming up? I mean, that they might be Broncos maybe, but Broncos are away, so probably not. Patriots maybe. They might be favored for their home game. But like you said, one day. One day.
One day. So give me let me ask you this. Other than Tyreek and Waddle, what scares you about the Dolphins?
I think, like you were saying before about the blitz, if Xavien Howard can play, that scares me a lot. But yeah, I think the blitz mostly because of the offensive line. So it's going to be a lot of Zach's mobility is going to need to be used a lot on Sunday. I'd be a lot more nervous about the blitz if Flacco was still playing. I mean, for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
There was definitely a couple plays on Sunday that would have been sacks.
If 100%.
Like, way more.
The one that we were talking about, the play where he, like, did the spin move and threw out of bounds, that would have been a sack on the first part.
Yeah, easily. But, yeah, no, I would say that probably. Obviously, Tyreek and Waddle are the things that scare you the most, but and also the fact that like Teddy's the backup, but Teddy can still sling it. He's still a decent quarterback. You know, he up until that interception he had that sealed the game last Thursday. I mean, he was doing okay. He was doing fine. And then the fact that he can connect with those two wide receivers, I would say it's DJ and Sauce's first like really, really hard test. They got two guys they need to cover. Their biggest test before this was Jamar Chase, and Sauce did pretty well against him outside of the blown incident in the end zone where Chase got the touchdown. But those two together are by far their toughest. You know, they're going to need Whitehead and Joyner to be help them as much as possible. Because that's not a shot at them not being good. It's just how good those two are. So
it's their speed, man. They're so fast.
They're so fast.
So, by the way, the matchup predictor, 57.2 on the Dolphins.
That's it?
That's it.
I hate when people have confidence in the Jets. Because it just makes me nervous. And it's like, the Jets haven't won a divisional game since 2019, I think. And they're 8-1 in the last 9 games against the Dolphins. I think I just thought.
Over-under is 46. So they think there's going to be some points in this game.
Indeed. I can see it.
Yeah. You know, it has been a long time since they've won a divisional game.
Very long.
A very long time. I think this is when they get it done.
They're home.
They're home. I'm going to be so wrong. I'm going to be so wrong.
So wrong.
You're so wrong.
You're so wrong.
So, have you seen that clip going around Twitter? Orlovsky posted basically like, "Oh, this was the best conversation I've ever had on TV."
I don't think so.
So there was the segment they did on NFL Live the other day that was absolutely fascinating. That all of you should go listen to. Go to Dan Orlovsky's Twitter page, and it has like a couple like tens of thousands of favorites and stuff, and it's very, very, it's very insightful. And the discussion was between Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark. Obviously, Laura Rutledge was doing the she was the person moderating. And then they brought Mina Kimes in also on an off day just to have this conversation. And it was about the differences in what the NFL has, how the NFL has changed over the years and how cyclical it is, mainly. But it was more so the offensive and defensive guys, Orlovsky, Spears, and Clark, asking each other questions. You know, the thing they focused on was the shotgun versus the playing under center. And how teams are running all their offenses from under center a lot more often than they are in the shotgun because of how much more difficult it is on a defender when you're running it under center. You can do so many more things in your playbook under center. Play action. You can't see the ball. When you're in shotgun, you can see everything they're doing. The claps, nothing. Like Ryan Clark was like, yeah, like when teams are in shotgun, you can kind of relax a little bit because you kind of know that you're the cap on the defense as a safety. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, Marcus Spears is like, you know, when you're in shotgun, you could just see a lot more. Play action doesn't scare you as much, so you can be a lot more aggressive in trying to stop the run, right, and not contained as much, right? Then they brought Mina Kimes in. I promise this has a point, guys, all right? I'm not just rambling here. They brought Mina Kimes in, and she confirmed what they were saying and how, you know, the biggest the team that shows this the most is the Bengals, and how the Bengals started the season in only 6% of their plays were from under center, and in week two, it was like 12%, and then in week three, it was like 20%, and then in week four, it was like 25% are under center. The teams are starting to realize a lot more that how much more effective that is, except for the Dolphins, who don't need to do this.
No, they don't.
Mina was like, they're the exception to the rule because how fast Waddle and Tyreek are. and that's why I brought this up, because I don't think people realize what the Dolphins have. They have probably the fastest tight end outside of Kyle Pitts in football and Mike Gesicki.
I forget about Gesicki.
They have Gesicki, who is going to just absolutely torch. He's going to torch C.J. Mosley. I'm not looking forward to it.
No.
I'm hoping that Whitehead is on him, but they're going to have to play a lot of too high safety, so it's going to be on the linebackers, and you don't have Quincy Williams, who's the fastest linebacker, so it's going to be on, like, Quan Alexander, and they're going to have to, like, honestly, like, they may have to play Ashton Davis a lot.
I was thinking the same thing. They really might have to, and it's not something that is
like incorrect. I'm just trying to think, like, if you're gonna run like their run offense doesn't scare me at all with Chase Edmonds and I think they have Mostert. Yeah, they have Mostert and Edmonds.
They have like six running backs. So many guys,
and they're all fast, but they don't really utilize the run that much, which is surprising because of what, you know, McDaniel did and San Francisco and how much he loved running the ball there. But I guess that's more on Shanahan. You're going to see a lot of weird formations with Tyreek lining up in the backfield and going out on swing passes. And he's going to be all over the formation. Don't expect Sauce to be following him everywhere.
Right.
All right. Sal likes keeping him on one side and Reed on the other. And they have, they stick it to their assignments and they play a very, you know, very specific style of defense, and they're going to be rotating the defensive linemen, which, by the way, they played great last week. A lot of sacks.
Sounds right? Like they had their little, you know, spat, and they did a lot of four-man rushes, and look at that.
And they figured it out.
Yes, they had a lot of success. So.
Exactly. So I think we're going to see a very similar style of defense played, where we're going to see a lot of four-man rushes and a lot of dropping seven guys into coverage. I think that at least this is what I would do. I mean, you're going to have to play a lot of nickel, diamond, dollar defenses. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what that is, guys, it's nickel is you have an extra defensive back on the field. Dime, you have another extra defensive back on the field in place of a linebacker. So you'll have four cornerbacks. You'll have six defensive backs on there. And then dollar is just like you have, I think you have one linebacker on the field. You have three down linemen, and then the rest are defensive backs.
Dollars essentially what you play, but they're throwing like Hail Marys.
Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking they'll play a lot of nickel and dime coverage, and they'll have sticks in the box still to stop the run. But I think that Ashton Davis would be better suited to cover a guy like Gesicki, than C.J. Mosley and Quan Alexander. Now, unfortunately, this isn't Madden, so they're probably not going to do that often. Like when I play with the Jets, like I'll like before I go online and play with them, I'll like fix my roster so I have Ashton Davis playing in the sub linebacker position, and I just run around with him at his 92 speed and just all hawks. But that's not what Robert Saleh is going to do because this ain't Madden, folks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be on the linebackers. It's going to be on Quan, and it's going to be on Quincy. C.J. to shut down their big pass catching tight end, especially in the red zone. That's where he's most dangerous. But I can see him really affecting us up the seams, especially with, you know, the pressure that Tyreek and Waddle are going to put on that defense. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about this offense.
I can see Gesicki running drag routes all day, every day.
Yep.
Like, I can just see that, like, them sending Hill and Waddle deep, and if they're in no position, or maybe Teddy's getting blitzed, I can just see Gesicki running right across, like, 4 yards out. He gets hit, and he takes it for, like, 15.
Now, listen,
I can see that happening all day.
Like, Sauce was like, listen, like, I've played fast wide receivers before, like Jameson Williams, and, you know, I got some things that I use in my, like, I things I do for these fast wide receivers. Now, like, he wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to shut this guy down. He was just like, yeah, I got to try a couple different things because this is going to be really hard.
This is going to be a very, very hard test, regardless of who I'm playing against, Waddle or Tyreek. So,
yeah.
Like,
so
it's
going to be really, it's going to be really. You said you had your heart rate monitor on?
That's going to be jacked up.
It's going to be jacked up at the beginning of that game.
It's close it will be. Like, if it's not, if it's like the Dolphins are, you know, they're up by like 3 scores going into the fourth quarter, I'll just be like, all right, whatever. This one's done. We're donezo here. But I know for a fact, because one of my best friends is a big Dolphins fan, and as I'm sure I've mentioned on this, and it's a twofer.
One of my best friends is also a big Dolphins fan.
And it's a twofer with me and him this week, because we're playing the Dolphins, and I'm playing him in fantasy. So it's
Jesus Christ. You have to win one of them. You have to.
I said it to one of my other friends. I was like, I'd take the Jets win. I'd sacrifice the fantasy win. I take the Jets win.
I wouldn't call this a must win. I'd call it a can't lose.
I call it a can't. I like that. You can't call it a must win. It's definitely a can't lose.
Can't lose.
And I will say, I am very happy that this game is home.
We need a home win, man.
We need a home win. The Jets need a home win this season. Granted, it's only week 5, but they need a big, like. Doesn't even matter if it's like another come from behind in the fourth quarter. They just need like a good. I want to see them have a lead again, like they did in the Steelers game. I want to see that more than anything in the world.
I think that the building is going to be packed.
I think it will be too.
My buddy reached out to me. He's like, he like texted a bunch of us, and he's like, hey, like, so I didn't think the Jets are going to be 2-2 at this point. Does anybody want to go to the game on Sunday against the Dolphins? And I was like, whoa, like that's new.
Okay.
People want to go to the Jets game? Really? Right? Like,
yeah. Like,
normally they'd be like, I mean, like, you want to go to the Jets game? They'd be like,
no.
I'd rather watch Red Zone, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I got that.
I think the building's going to be packed. I think it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
I think that the Dolphins are going to have some false starts.
Yeah.
On third down. You know, I think that this is...
What I don't want
Jets fans need to show out on Sunday.
What I don't want to happen is, and you were at this game, was week 2 last year, where everyone went into week 2 last year, coming into MetLife, they're playing the Patriots. Everyone's coming off. It's like, granted, they lost week 1 against the Panthers, but it was like
first time seeing Zach.
It's the first time seeing Zach. Like, you know, everyone was hyped up going into week 2. It's like they didn't win, but he looked pretty decent for a rookie quarterback in week 1. Like. Everyone's excited. They're coming back. They're coming home. They're playing the Patriots. Like, imagine Zach goes in there and he fucking beats the Patriots. Like, oh, man. And then he throws 4 interceptions. And I just don't want to see that happen this week. Because for a multitude of reasons, obviously. But that a loss like that is just so deflating after the week we've had. You know? Like, even if they go out there and they lose. If they lose and it's like the last 2 games against the Dolphins last season where they kept it with 1 score. They only lost by a touchdown in both those games, and one of them was Zach was playing it. The other one was Flacco. But if something like that happens again, okay, I'm fine with that. The Dolphins,
if they beat us straight up, so be it.
They beat us straight up, and it's not the Jets like messing up and beating themselves and shooting themselves in the foot a lot. And Salah said it in like the post game. You know, he was just like, yeah, I mean, and Zach said it too. He's like, yeah, that was an ugly win. We know that there was a lot of stuff we messed up in that game. But so if it's like that, but they're actually like have a complete performance on Sunday, but the Dolphins just are a better team and they win, but that's fine with me, you know? Show that you can go toe-to-toe with this team, even if you come out with a loss.
100%. That's all we're looking for here. That's all we want. We want competitive football.
Right. We want
to see growth.
What did we say before the season? We still want to have meaningful games in December. I want to be on the in-the-hunt graphic. Even if they don't need to make the playoffs, I just want to be on the in-the-hunt graphic.
I don't care if we're 5-7 on the bottom of that in-the-hunt graphic. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it.
7 or 8 wins is certainly possible for this team.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? That'd be a fun season.
It would be a fun season.
Yeah, so, it would be. Listen, if you're a Steelers fan and you go seven and ten, you're livid. You're like, this is awful because you're used to success. If the Jets go 7-10 this year, we should be happy.
We're excited. Okay? We're parades in the street. We might go down the Canyon of Heroes if they go 7-10.
I'd kill for 8-9.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
And you know what? Honestly. So, all right. So let's do a little exercise here. The Jets are 2-2 right now. Most had us at 0-4.
Yeah.
All right. Go through the schedule. Let's go through the schedule the rest of the way. And let's see what you think the Jets can get to realistically.
Okay.
So, do you pick the Jets to win this weekend?
No.
No.
I think the Dolphins are going to win.
Okay. I'll concede. I think the Jets are going to win, but for the sake of this exercise, I'll say that they lose. Mm-hmm. Okay. They go to Green Bay next week.
Green Bay hasn't looked great, but going into Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers.
If they win this week and you go into Green Bay, I'm thinking I'm having a lot more confidence.
Then your outlook changes a little bit going into that game.
Like if Zach looks like a star this weekend, then I'm like, yeah, let's beat the Packers.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, absolutely. If that's the case, if he goes out there and he throws like 3 touchdowns, maybe a pick or something like that, and he's leading drives and he's slinging it and stuff. Again, even if they don't win the game, then you go into the game, you go into Lambeau feeling decent. Right. Because like you said, like I was saying, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers haven't looked great this year. So who knows?
Yeah, they have no wide receivers. And as great as Rodgers is, if the receivers aren't getting open, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Then at the Broncos.
I don't care how bad the Broncos are. I have no confidence with the Jets going into Mile High. The last like 3 times they've gone into Mile High, they've got lost. Shit rocked.
All right, so you're 2-5 at that point.
Yeah.
Home against the Patriots.
That game they can win.
Okay. So then you're 3-5. Home against the Bills.
Nope.
3-6.
Yeah.
All right. At the Patriots.
The Patriots aren't very good, but
I think they sweep the Patriots this year. I think the Patriots are the worst team in football. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, buddy.
They're so bad.
That's a statement.
Yep. I think they sweep the Patriots. I'm putting them at 4-6 there. Then you have home against the Bears. I'll be at that game.
No, but they can win that.
Okay. So they're 5-6 there. You're at the Vikings.
I don't know. That's tough. Vikings are such like a weird team to predict every season. Because it's like I feel like they're perennially like average to decent. And it's like I can't ever tell what's gonna happen with Kirk Cousins. And they obviously have Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. And if this game was home, I'd feel a lot better about it. I'm gonna say the Vikings win that game.
Okay, so then you're at 5-7 right there. You're in the hunt in November.
I think I'm at 4-8. I think you're at 5-7.
I'm at 5-7.
Okay.
All right. At the Bills, loss. 5-8. Home against the Lions.
They can win that.
All right. And then 4 days later against the Jaguars.
They can win that.
On Thursday Night Football. Okay. So then I'm 7-8 at the Seahawks.
They can even though it's in Seattle, they can win that. Seahawks.
I'd have us at 8-8 and then home again. I mean, then on the road against the Dolphins, time TBD.
I mean, if the Dolphins are in the playoffs already, then they'd be hypothetically resting their starters. So,
and then the Jets would be at 8-8 with a chance to maybe sneak into the playoffs right there.
I think that based on the way that the schedule looks for the rest of the season, I think 7-10 is where they'll round out. And I, like we were saying, that'd be
fine. That sounds about right. But
that's fine with me.
If Zach Wilson is the guy we saw in the fourth quarter for the rest of the season, so the best quarterback of all time, then the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. So.
I mean, they're clearly going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's never been more than obvious to me.
You know, if he just goes 10 of 12 each quarter, then, you know, then you win.
Right. I mean,
so it sounds like we found the winning formula, I mean, if you ask me.
Let's be honest. If Zach Wilson is Zach Wilson, he's Tom Brady. And that's all we need to say, as Mike Francesa once said.
Yeah. You know? If Zach Wilson is Zach Wilson, he's Tom Brady. That sounds very Mike Francesa right there. All right. Obviously, we got a long ways to go. We're going to see how this plays out. I'm excited for this weekend. I think that the Jets can make some noise a little bit, shock the world. If the Jets win this weekend, they're going to start getting some attention from the national media.
They're going to get, and not even just the national media, just people in general.
Yeah. And so,
I
think that this is the biggest game of Zach Wilson's career so far. It's the biggest game of Robert Saleh's tenure.
Probably,
as a head coach. It's the biggest game the Jets have had.
I don't know.
Quite some time, man.
Yeah, I mean, if they were...
You go above 500 and you... All right, say... Who does Buffalo play this week? There's a scenario where the Jets end this week in first place.
Who do the Bills play?
The Steelers. Yeah, all right. So the Jets will not be ending the week.
They will not be in first place.
No, they will not be in first place. But then they have the Chiefs and the Packers back to back, and you never know.
I mean,
so maybe the Jets are in first place at some point this season. Probably not, guys, but you know.
But hey, they're in second right now.
Oh, we like to get ahead of ourselves sometimes.
Oh my God, it's like the best part of this pod. We love to get ahead of ourselves.
It's the best.
Just ask Jared Gossel.
Yeah,
it's at like 11-6 or something. Like
maybe he was right.
And hey. I mean, I said it.
Maybe that's the name of this episode. Hashtag maybe Jared was right.
I like that. I like that. He'll like that too. And I got my dad starting to listen to the pod, and when he heard my prediction for this week, he's like, "Oh, 27-17. You're shooting for the stars there," or whatever he said. And I remember that's what you and Nick said to me last week. And it wasn't 27-17, but I was close. 24-20. I was close. You know.
Yeah. Credit to you. Hey, credit to you. Credit to you. Right, any final thoughts before we head out?
Like you said, this game is big. This is a very big week no one knows that better than the Jets themselves. So
Let's go out there and eat a W, huh?
And as Jameis said, let's go out there and eat some dubs.
Let's go eat a W, huh? All right. That's it for us here. If you want to listen to any of the other content on Gotham Sports Network, you can go to GothamSN.com. You can find this podcast or any of our other podcasts on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you want to find me, myself, and I on Twitter, you can do so at Jesse Finver. And Connor, where can they find you?
At the NJ Mick.
And we don't need to know why anymore. We don't need to know why anymore. No. We decided last week that, you know what, maybe people shouldn't know why. All right, man. This was fun as always. And let's do it again next week. Let's talk about another win next week, huh? How about it?
Hope for another happy pod.
Hell yeah. All right, folks. Peace.